Hello and welcome to Living the Breakthrough, T1D Stories, where we have conversations with people who break through the challenges of living with type 1 diabetes to achieve whatever they want in life, big or small. My name is Adrian Gonzalez. I'm a board member with the Greater New England chapter of Breakthrough T1D. And in my day job, I interview supply chain logistics executives on an online video talk show called Talking Logistics. But I've been wanting to do something similar for the type 1 diabetes community for the past year or two. And so here we are, the very first episode of Living the Breakthrough. And I couldn't think of a better guest to be my guinea pig than my daughter, Hannah, who, especially since she had guinea pigs when she was a little girl, they're my own daughter. So, Hannah, welcome to the program and congrats on being our very first guest.
Thanks, Poppy. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, let's begin. With when your T1D story began. And of course, I know the answer to this question, but our audience doesn't know it. So, when is your diversity? That is the date when you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And what do you remember about that day?
My diversity was October 4th, 2011, when I was 11 years old. I believe I was going in for my annual birthday checkup a little late because that's not what my birthday is, but I was supposed to go to the doctor anyways. And I was probably zoning out, but then I zoned back in when my mom was telling my doctor that I was drinking a lot more water than usual. And I just remember thinking that they were being so dramatic because my whole life I was being told that I should drink more water. And here I am drinking more water. And now they're upset about it. So I remember rolling my eyes a lot that day. And even more when they said I need to now go to another doctor because, again, I thought I was doing something right for once. So they were being really dramatic. And then I don't remember much from that second doctor besides him throwing a lot of words and needles and food charts at me. I do remember getting home that night, though, specifically sitting on the last step of our like carpeted steps leading upstairs. I was sitting on that step, and mom was in the kitchen, and I just remember thinking I was gonna die. Like that is all I was thinking. I was gonna die. And then my mom came over and informed me that she had made my favorite Annie's mac and cheese, the white cheddar one. And she handed me a carefully measured syringe of insulin and then scene change. I don't know what happened next.
Well, of course, I wasn't there because I remember that day as well. And of course, that second doctor you went to was your now endocrinologist at the time. And I was actually on a business trip in Philadelphia for a Council Supply Chain Management Professionals conference. And I remember mom calling me that night to tell me the news. And I just remember never not knowing anything about type 1 diabetes. I had never even heard of it. And I remember mom telling me, well, we spoke to the endocrinologist today, and he said to tell me not to do any Google search on it, not to try to do any research on my own, that when I got home the next day, we would all get together and meet with him, and that he would tell us over the next few days everything we needed to know, about type 1 diabetes and how to manage it and everything else. And of course, the moment I hung up the phone with mom, I immediately Googled type 1 diabetes and started doing my own research on it because that's what I do. I'm a research analyst. And my big regret was that I probably should have listened to mom because all it made me do was just made me get more anxious and not knowing what was going on and not really understanding what I was really reading fully. And of course, I was battling, of all things, an ear infection at that time. And then I just felt awful that I wasn't home to, to be there with you and mom and to comfort you. But yeah, I mean, that was a day that we say that we don't celebrate that October 4th day, but we certainly, mark it in our own different ways because that that really changed obviously your life forever, and it changed ours as well. That brings me to my next question. I mean, so it's now been 13 years since you were diagnosed with T1D, and you've literally spent, more than half your life living with it, experiencing many highs and lows, pun intended, over all those years. So knowing what you know now, Hannah, if you could go back to 11-year-old Hannah, on those steps that you talked about, on the top steps there, on the day that she was diagnosed, I mean, what would you tell her to kind of ease the fear and uncertainty that she felt that day, that you felt that day?
Well, like you said, my 11-year-old self thought her life was over because if you had never heard of type 1 diabetes, I certainly had never heard of type 1 diabetes, let alone any type of diabetes. Never heard that word before in my life. Certainly never heard of insulin. I was in sixth grade. I don't even think we ever covered that subject in school. But all I knew was that I didn't have any of that stuff called insulin anymore, and that sounded really bad. So I had no background in what any of this meant. And I had no one to really look to that understood what was happening besides, that second doctor I went to who threw a bunch of words and things at me that I definitely didn't want. And from my understanding, he had that stuff called insulin. So, like, who was he to tell me anything? So, what little Hannah needed, I think, if I could go back, was to see, like, first off, that she wasn't the only one and that diabetes did not mean the end of the life that I wanted to live. At 11 years old, that meant that I oh so desperately wanted to be a dolphin trainer. And I don't remember how long afterwards it was, from my diagnosis, but someone told me about Robin Cox. And Robin Cox was a type 1 diabetic dolphin trainer. And I remember that day so clearly. I looked her up, I spent so long reading about her. And honestly, I think that was the day that my whole, like, that's when it really, when I really digested that this didn't mean my life was over. Like, here is this woman who is literally living my dream, who went through the same exact thing as me. And so I made it, I think, also my mission that day to do everything in my power to become the Robin Cox per se in everything I do, so that one day if, someone that I met along the way either got diagnosed themselves or came across another type 1 diabetic, they would know and they would remember, hopefully, from watching me live my life, that type 1 diabetes can't stop you from being a badass. So although I can't go back in time and show my younger self what we have gone on to do, and on day one told her that it's not going to stop you, I was really excited because I got the opportunity to become a big brother, big sister volunteer this year, or last year actually. Well, they reached out to me saying that A, they started this branch for type 1 diabetics specifically, and they had just come across this 6-year-old girl whose kindergarten year had been disrupted, and that she reminded them of me, and they thought it would just be the most perfect pairing if I was willing. And I saw this as like a sign, like, okay, I can't go back and tell it to myself, but here's this little girl who, and since getting to know her, she reminds me a lot of myself, who is just like involved in everything and has so much energy as she is playing all these sports. And her dreams might even be beyond what mine were at that age. But I was so excited for the opportunity to show her, that I I ran marathons. I did triathlons. I traveled around the world with my friends without you, father. I went to school. I went to college. I had a full college experience, and I get to show her all these things as she's growing up too. And hopefully she just never has that doubt that diabetes is going to stop her. So got to go
Well, yeah,
far.
that's great, and I know that you get a lot of meaning with meeting with that little sister, and I'm sure she well, I can tell from the stories you tell us that she absolutely has a fantastic time with you. Of course, we knew Mom and I knew that you wanted to be a dolphin trainer way back when, and I did not remember the Robin Cox story, so that was that's kind of great to kind of hear you share that. And kind of having her, unbeknownst to her, that she served as a role model, to you, and really kind of helped you navigate or give you the inspiration to do everything else that you've done. Everything, like you said, running triathlons and marathons, and now, to my dismay, playing rugby. Every time you play rugby, mom and I get nervous that you're going to call us with a broken arm or a black eye or something worse.
Oh,
But
but that's not diabetes related.
it is
You're not
not
worried about my
diabetes.
diabetes. There
That's
are two
not.
other diabetics on my team, too.
See, that's great. That's great. So, but again, I think it's just an example of how ultimately your life did not end. In fact, I think it opened a lot of different doors, and it kind of changed you, and at least from my perspective as your dad, in meaningful ways, and didn't really stop you from trying and doing all these things that you wanted to get done. Now, back in, as your dad, I was trying to figure out what can I do to help support, at the time, JDRF, which is what we got introduced to as a family, shortly after you got diagnosed. And, now it's, Breakthrough, T1D. They were rebranded earlier this year, and I was trying to figure out, what can I do to help raise funds or help support, the community here. And back in 2016, I launched a cycling team called Logistics Leaders for T1D Cure, to raise money for Breakthrough T1D. And through, the past few years, my teammates and I, including mom, have ridden in several Breakthrough T1D rides in Death Valley, Saratoga Springs, New York, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Burlington, Vermont, and other places. And in 2023, you cheered us on as a volunteer for the first time in the Burlington ride, which was great. But this year, this past year in 2024, this past July, you decided to do the ride yourself for the first time. So I guess the question is, why did you decide the ride this year? How was the experience? And what would you say to someone who might be interested in doing a Breakthrough T1D ride or serve as a volunteer, but might be on the fence for whatever reason?
Now that's a really good question. I'm not gonna lie, because I was asking myself that exact question a lot as I was reflecting on my ride. Because to be completely honest, I really don't like biking, or sorry, cycling. I don't like cycling that much. I don't know how I came from you and mom, but so I was really trying to figure out what it was that made me want to do it. Because after that first year of volunteering, which was, amazing in itself, and that was a no-brainer for me, volunteering. Great, I could do that. After volunteering, or just in that weekend of volunteering, I found myself overwhelmed with the desire to ride. It actually just made no sense. If you weren't aware, I'm like a very stubborn person. I always have been. It has nothing to do with diabetes, with or without it. If someone told me I couldn't do something, I then, for better or for worse, had to prove them wrong. I think diabetes just happened to hand me way more opportunities to prove people wrong, because there's just so many misconceptions out there and people assume that I can't do things. I mean, that's the entire reason that I ran the marathons, because fun fact, I don't like running either. So it's not like I'm a crazy athlete like that. Someone told me I couldn't do it, so I did it. But here's the thing. My whole life as a diabetic, people's responses have mainly been, looks of sympathy because I think they see it as I have this built-in weakness and they assume I'm weaker because of my incompetent beta cells. So I obviously have to prove them wrong. That has always been my motivation. But 2 years ago, when I went to volunteer for the Breakthrough 2-1-D ride, the like weirdest thing happened, which I didn't really realize what it was until afterwards, but me and all my dia buddies in that space, we were not looked at like we were weak. We were actually looked at like we were the strongest people in the room. And I literally left feeling like I had superpowers from just like existing in that space. I had nothing to prove, and yet I wanted to go out and ride anyways, like for me, because I could. I just felt so strong that I wanted to go out and do something with that strength. So that is what I did this year. Like I rode that strength all year long, didn't train for it though. Didn't want to ruin it. I was all mentally charged up. I did not want to ruin it by training, but I did want to prove to myself that I had the strength to do it off of sheer willpower and determination as a sort of symbolism, because that is how our or us diabetics stay alive. Willpower. Woohoo. So I guess for anyone questioning whether joining the Breakthrough T1D ride as either a rider or a volunteer would find this a meaningful experience, whether you're a diabetic or not, it is. Like, it is life-changing. I don't even know, like, I can barely find the words to describe the feeling you get from being in that space, because honestly, it's not about the ride. And I think I'm speaking for the non-diabetics as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but whether you're riding all the miles or a few of the miles or none of the miles, you'll leave feeling just more inspired and capable of more than you ever thought was possible before. Again, that has like nothing to do with me having diabetes and you not having diabetes. Like it is such an overwhelmingly inspirational space, and you just feel like you can change the world. And selfishly, as a diabetic, I also have no words for how moving it is that all of these people without diabetes, or without even knowing someone with diabetes, which really blew my mind this year, choose to show up and take on the world with us. And you know, if you love someone with diabetes, if you have diabetes, or if you're looking for a cause to give yourself more purpose in this world, like this is the place. This is like, there is no other feeling and vibe out there.
Well, I think you are much more effective salesperson for the rides than I am. But yes, I agree 100%, obviously. I mean, these rides, which is really a long weekend, it's really so inspirational. And just being able to meet others in the community, those with type 1 diabetes, those with not, parents of those with type 1 diabetes, or just friends or others that are just looking to support the cause. In fact, most of the riders on our team don't have type 1 diabetes and don't have a connection with type 1 diabetes. And you're right. I mean, for us, for all of us, your mom and I and you, I mean, to have that kind of support from folks that don't even have a connection is just truly truly inspiring. Yeah, and you did a great job this summer. You did 80 miles without doing, like you said, any training, zero training this summer, which I would not recommend to anyone considering to do a ride. The other thing is that you could do any mileage in these rides. You don't have to do the full 100 miles. Any ride, any distance that's meaningful to you is where you're going to be able to cross the finish line smiling and having fun is the right distance. But anyway,
Be clear though, I got cut off. I did not stop at 80 by free will. I got cut off.
That's right. That's right. Well, there was some weather delays, and then there were some time constraints. So absolutely. So maybe we'll see you attempt another ride in the not too distant future. So, moving on, kind of shifting gears a little bit. I mean, as an industry analyst, I mean, I keep a pulse on how companies leverage technology to improve their supply chain logistics operations. And of course, as a dad of a type one of a daughter with type 1 diabetes, I also like keeping a pulse on, how technology is improving the lives of people living with T1D. So, a lot of the money that we raise for Breakthrough T1D goes not only toward funding research to fund a cure, but also to fund the development of new technologies and therapies to make living with T1D easier until a cure is found. So, compared to when you were, first diagnosed, again, 13 plus years ago to today, I mean, how has technology improved the way you manage your diabetes?
Well, if we go back to day one, I was given two insulin pens, one with long-acting insulin and one with short-acting insulin, a handheld glucose monitor with little test strips that I'm still finding 13 years later, and a logbook. And out of everything I had to do, that logbook was my arch nemesis. I don't even get me started. I could rant about that all day. But I was told to write down and color code every blood sugar measurement that I took ever, green for normal, blue for high, red for low. Write down every dose of insulin I took and every carb I consumed. Then I was supposed to look at my handwritten log and figure out if there were any trends. Now, some people were born with a gift of organization and note keeping. I'm not one of those people. Anytime I see one of those tricolored pens, I still get flashbacks. So the logbook. Ugh. Anyways, now
It
I.
caused us a lot of angst too, as your parents.
Well, yeah, I was not. Ugh. Anyways, now essentially, the logbook is gone. I have the Omnipod 5 insulin pump and the Dexcom continuous glucose monitor, which the latest and greatest like update to these systems has, well, not only essentially eliminated the daily injections and finger pricks, but they literally now talked to each other to adjust my insulin automatically to correct for any of my inevitable human errors, and they adjust for any trends that they see without me having to tell them with my logbook. And I don't have to think about it at all anymore. So I know that there's all sorts of politics about AI out there, but whoever I have to thank for replacing the logbook with AI is honestly my forever hero. I haven't thought about that logbook in a really long time, but that like technology basically eliminated the thing that was just ruining my mental health, diabetes wise. So
And I think, the technology has also, I mean, you've always been good. You've always taken ownership, even when you were first diagnosed, you always took ownership of managing your diabetes. I mean, we helped obviously as your parents, but even as you got older, you took more and more of that responsibility. But your A1C has always been in a good range, but it's even, I would say, even better now, right? Because of the technology, because it's really helping with the overnight lows or overnight highs, because of the fact that both these things talk to each other, the glucose monitor and the pump. So it's able to adjust your insulin levels overnight while you're sleeping to try to keep you in that, safe zone, if you will.
yeah, I mean, it's just a win all around. I way less mental energy, and great A1C, and it allows me to be imperfect, which was a bigger consequence before if I made any mistakes. So.
Right. Well, and I would put it differently. It allows you to get closer to living a life like you were living before you had type 1 diabetes, which is great. And that brings me to the last question, Hannah. As a way to wrap up, let's look toward ahead towards the future, a future that all of us can't wait for. I mean, Breakthrough T1D's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. What would a world without T1D mean to you?
Well, there is one thing that I have narrowed. There's only one thing that I can think of that diabetes is preventing me from doing, and that is going on the show Survivor. So I could do that finally, and maybe even win. But besides that, I would be, I mean, a world without T1D, I would be free from that tiny little tube that likes to constantly remind me that I have to live by its rules in order to stay alive. I won't have to repeatedly, unpredictably have to choose between hitting pause on the work meeting I'm leading or driving to class or the first game of rugby I finally get to start in, because I might die if I don't. And I won't have to cancel my plans because the one time I forget to pack extra insulin, my pump fails. A world without type 1 diabetes would mean a world where I can get up and just walk out the door without anything but the clothes on my back. I forget what that feels like. I would love to feel that again. So.
And as your dad, I would want nothing more than that future to, and that vision to come true in the not too distant future. So, well, Hannah, I mean, thank you very much for taking the time from your busy schedule as a electrical engineer, rugby player, master's degree student, big sister volunteer, and we didn't talk about it today, but the mom of two rabbits to be my first guest. Here on Living the Breakthrough. And for those of you that are watching, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends and family. And if you're living, the breakthrough with T1D and want to share your story, feel free to contact me and maybe you can be the next guest on Living the Breakthrough. So again, thank you and look forward to seeing you in a future episode. Goodbye.
Thank you.